Hello, everybody. Thanks for coming out. Today is a special kind of guest day. We have Jamie and Layla from Verse who are going to be joining us for most of the conversation. I will do a little bit of housekeeping to get us started, but then we're going to go into a slightly different format for the town hall. So I'll just give kind of a quick update of just where some things are at, basically just status of some big moments in the calendar. Pretty much a lot of the same stuff we've been talking about the last few weeks. And then also, you may have noticed that Chuby has been writing longer written updates, which I think are a bit easier to follow for everyone just to see what work is happening behind the scenes. So today, I'm going to save some of the longer product updates for Chuby in favor of looking at some of the P5 stuff with Layla and Jamie. But just in terms of kind of current status, we are having great discussions with Sotheby's about the solo show in October. Should be confirming a date with them shortly and working on the terms that will lead to an eventual bid. So that we can expect about a month timeline to get those proposal details. In the meantime, working on what the exhibition is going to be and the works that we would propose from the DAO itself. There's in parallel a lot of work in terms of getting secondary works committed, but there's a longer timeline for that just because it's a matter of talking with different collectors. But that gives us a very good baseline of the production level of the show. So very excited for how that'll develop. Again, looking at about a month of kind of further discussions, developing the proposal and presenting that to the DAO. We'll have some time to discuss and then vote. But that's moving along really nicely. That's our big milestone later this year. We have the Basel vote that is, I think, I should check this, just the latest on it. Yeah, so in about 30 minutes, we're going to be seeing the vote for placing Air Hold at Art Basel or in the Georg Bach show fair at Art Basel on sale there in June. So that vote ends in about 30 minutes, and that's a really nice milestone, really amazing test of the market outside of kind of crypto native collectors, amazing venue. So just this really great milestone on the way to Sotheby's. They're working out kind of what a print will look like, you know, considering what a physical presentation of Bada looks like, how to present it to that larger, to the broader trad art crowd, how to present in the larger context of AI art history. So really excited about that one. And then, you know, a lot of what we're going to be talking about today, we're going to be having a exhibition with Verse at Frieze's Permanent Gallery in London, number 9 Cork Street, opening night May 23rd. Carter just pushed the announcement in the Discord with an RSVP. If you're in London, definitely go check that out. We're going to be having a couple of talks about AI art history as well as curating AI art. And it'll be showing a lot of Bado's progress from different periods to really contextualize kind of this particular evolution of Bado with P5JS and the experiments there. So showing works in progress from P5JS, it is not, definitely no sales happening, nothing determined there. It's really just showing that preview. And then what we'll talk about today is what might a mature collection look like? How might Bado mature in its P5JS practice? I think there's a lot of very strong interest in what Bado's doing. The feedback I've gotten has been that it's innovative. People are extremely excited about this crossover of autonomous art, the machine creativity kind of going into the P5 world, which has been this big meta in crypto art and seems to be now, I don't like to say it's getting replaced, but it, you know, certainly the AI art meta is growing. And I think just from a market perspective, it's a very interesting crossover for a lot of people. But I think that we also want to see something that is really mature and really ready for prime time if there were to be a collection. And so that'll be the bulk of the conversation today. We have Jamie and Layla here as gallerists from Verse Gallery. They've been doing, they'll present what Verse Gallery has been doing, their view of the world, but just as kind of a quick introduction. They've been doing a ton of really amazing drops with a lot of focus on generative art and really focus on kind of the proper presentation of these works, the larger context, the background of the artist, the process, and just really honored that they've spotted P5JS with Bado as something innovative to show in this gallery. And I think very interesting to hear their perspective on what from their perspective, what would a mature collection look like? And I think that's to really inform our discussion as a DAO. What else to add into this process? How to extend this process? How to adapt the process to help Botto get there? We are maybe 6 weeks into the experiment. The preset timeline was 8 weeks, and that will be, I think it technically is, the original timeline ends May 22nd. I think we may want to consider extending that as well as we continue to discuss what those adaptations might be to evolve this. So we also have Mario here. I know Mario just came back from travel, so I understand Mario's feeling a little bit under the weather, but may chime in.
No, I have COVID. That's the thing.
I don't know if you wanted me to expose your COVID status.
Oh, Mario, no, it's okay. I don't know. I didn't miss anybody. But yeah, I'm today not really in the, don't have my thinking cap on, I should say that. So I can answer some questions, but I cannot give you big visions today. So,
yeah. Close up the framing, this is really to kick off the discussion in the DAO from a gallerist perspective. What does a mature collection look like? Some of Mario's input on possible adaptations, but then, this is really just the beginning of that conversation. And obviously, it's a big discussion of Botto doing a special project like this. I think we've achieved something very well differentiated already with what this is from the core work. And it's more so a question of yeah, what does maturity look like and how do we get there? So having said all that, I want to give the floor to Jamie and Layla to present themselves, present Verse, and just present some of the thinking they've kind of what drew their attention to this P5 experiment and some thoughts on the broader context of generative art that this would potentially live within that I think can help define the parameters of a mature collection.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Simon. Great to be here. Thanks for having us. I don't know if it'd be helpful just to say a little bit about who we are, how we operate. So yeah, I might just spend a couple of minutes on that, and then it'd be awesome to dig into P5. So we started first a couple of years ago, pretty much this month actually. Layla and I come from art backgrounds. I was a dealer for 11 years, mainly specializing in secondary market, very tradable blue chip stuff. So the Warhols, Herrings, etc. Layla came from museum background, was at Tate for 7-8 years. And we started Verse working with a larger number of artists. I don't know how many releases we've done to date, but it's probably over 100. But going forward, we are going to be really changing our approach and being much, much more targeted and focused. and that is really in response to a few things. I think that the space at large has a bit of an issue at the moment. Collectors are really, really struggling to feel any sense of safety and security in anything that they're buying. And the art world and the gallery model has fixed this kind of problem of collector confidence. Gagosian has honed their model over the past 40 years and it really, really works. And we are going to be kind of moving closer to that kind of model. And the model is, I guess, kind of nicely illustrated by looking at what Gagosian has done with the Basquiat market. Gagosian started working with Basquiat in the 80s, fast forward 45 years, every collector billionaire in the world's trying to get their hands on a piece they sell for 100 million plus. And Gagosian has kind of done an incredible job of just instilling a huge amount of confidence in the artist market. Firstly, by just kind of coming out saying, this is one of the very small number of artists I'm going to be really getting behind, because that kind of sense of confidence and security breeds further confidence and security. The power law is a thing. It's the reason Warhol, Basquiat, Picasso, Bitcoin, Ethereum are so dominant. But Gagosian also kind of took measures to really demonstrate that he is doing everything he possibly can to make this artist a true legend. Ongoing promotion, exhibitions, art fairs, placing works in museums, top collections, getting a load of PR, doing absolutely everything possible to keep the artist in the spotlight and relevant. And also, crucially, working to support the secondary market. Gagosian works very closely with a small number of very wealthy clients to support the market, keep it solid, keep it taking over, but basically mean that it can't crash too hard, and he's there ready and waiting to buy up himself if he needs to. So that just to say, we are going to be kind of adopting more of a kind of very, very focused model going forwards, where we're not going to be working with hundreds of artists, but we're going to instead be looking to work with 12, 10 or less, and really taking measures to make sure that these markets are really sturdy and really solid. So that's a bit about us. P5, we've been discussing this with Simon for a bit. Incredibly excited by what's happening, and we would obviously love to collaborate on this if possible. And were we to do so, our real kind of goal, I think, would be for us to figure out how we can maximize the chances of this going down as a kind of all-time legendary generative art, digital generative art series that is remembered for decades to come. And some of the things that I think may be worth discussing that I'm not totally convinced and nailed yet are series size, question of whether it's one algorithm or multiple, and then quality. Not totally sure that the kind of process is going to necessarily kind of optimize for the absolute highest quality final algorithm at the moment. So starting with series size, I mean, network effects are a thing. If you think of any major generative art series, Fidenza Ringers, Anticyclone, Memories, Line Draw, all of these have supply of 600-800 or more. Punks, Squiggles. Life in West America is not generative, but that's 500. Garden Monoliths is 256. But other than those two, you'd be very hard pressed to think of anything that has kind of continued to stay and feel relevant and spoken about, because those ongoing secondary transactions are important. It makes it, keeps it exciting, keeps it part of the conversation, etc. So yeah, I feel there's definitely some conversation to be had around series size. Spoken with Simon about the fact that it's quite hard to create a compelling generative algorithm without kind of considering a rough series size at the beginning, because you don't really know what you're judging. Like, is assessing an algorithm that's going to come out with come out with 10 outputs is a very different proposition to assessing an algorithm that's set to do 600. So it feels like it might make sense to try to kind of think about series size sooner rather than later. The other thing I'd say about a very high supply is that it would likely help really differentiate the P5 works from the weeklies. I mean, looking at the Warhol market, for instance, there are many, many thousands of prints, and they don't dilute the market for physical canvases, for paintings at all. If anything, they helped Warhol kind of get bigger, get more famous, and helped elevate those canvases. So I think kind of the more contrasting the supply is for the P5 project versus the weeklies, perhaps the better for the weeklies. And then to single versus multiple algorithms, I've spoken a little bit about this. I don't know, my view is that the simpler the better. It would be great if this could be compared to a Fidenza, to a Ringers. And it'd be pretty cool if people would be able to say, okay, Borbotto is clearly an extremely strong artist, and we can say that with confidence because we can compare the work to a load of other top series. But the more complicated it gets, I think the harder that becomes. And also, if everything's coming out of one algorithm, then chances are the final series will be all the more distinctive. And if we're trying to optimize for staying power, I think that's probably a good thing. And then lastly, quality. Simon mentioned earlier about a fixed number of rounds. I suppose my worry there is that the work might end up good, not absolutely brilliant. And I wonder if there could be concern that, I mean, it'd be cool if this is like, if this becomes an incredible piece compared to any other generative art, as opposed to really good for something that's not done by a human. I feel like, yeah, it'd be great if Bosso was seen as an incredible artist in their own right, not good given they're not a human, if that makes any sense. So yeah, that to say, yeah, if possible, to not rush and just keep going until it feels absolutely epic. It feels like that may be in Botto's best interests. But yeah, all talking points. I'm really excited to generally brainstorm and discuss further.
Thanks, Jamie. Yeah, just a couple clarification questions, and I'll kind of like, I want to run back through just kind of quickly bullet pointing what I got, and just to make sure I got everything right. So,
but I've actually got a PDF of this. I just couldn't get it sharing, so I can send that through if that helps.
Yeah, no, I think it'd be cool to share that as a way of all kind of further kicking off the discussion. You know, a lot of discussion tends to happen async over, you know, text posts, so that I think that's going to be really helpful. And then we can use this as like a companion piece of just the conversation. Two things I just want to, so one thing to clarify, when I talked about the rounds, I think that was more so extending the experiment as is to see how this current setup could continue to expand as we discuss adaptations. For sure, I think that the adaptations will need an entire, you know, a larger timeline to get to where they need to go. I think deadlines or kind of milestones can be good to kind of check in and see where they are. But a lot of this is going to really come down to what are the adaptations and then planning from there. One question I had is just when you said simpler is better, are you talking, and I understand this kind of within the context of like focusing in on can Botto get to one really strong algorithm and then create a lot of iterations out of that? But when you say simpler is better, are you also talking about just a very kind of refined aesthetic? Or are you more saying a single algorithm versus multiple algorithms with different aesthetics?
I was really saying, I just feel like the whole concept of the project should be incredibly easy to understand. I mean, yeah, like most generative collections minted so far, like everyone knows that they are just coming out of one algorithm. I feel like if much more explanation is needed, it may not be a great thing.
Right. So that, yeah, I think that's kind of the headline here is recognizing that this is something released within this, you know, very recent and very strong context of generative art and what those works have been doing. And I think that as much as Botto may take a unique approach, I think that kind of connection really helps with helping people make sense of it in the like, how does this compare? So as you said, kind of networked with other works. And so to review, you've talked about really a single algorithm versus multiple or, you know, and I think that's certainly that's probably a real challenge to get there. So at the very least, I would say like fewer rather than more, right? Very, very tightly curated at the very least, with the ideal being a single algorithm. Then, you know, these successful collections kind of approximate size, you know, can you get to 500 to 600 really strong iteration? You know, there's another question here about, you know, is the DAO curating those 500 to 600 or, you know, are you able to get to a point of pure random iterations that are all very good? And then I think that, and on that, the level of participation is, I think, a more unique thing here, where there's other examples of participatory aspects, but Botto's point of participation is unique relative to, say, a QQL. So I think kind of opening up that process is very interesting thing here, where we've had this experiment that's been within the DAO, and there hasn't been an economic aspect tied to it. But I've been pretty impressed with the level of participation in spite of that. But we may even want something even more open, say, kind of that's pretty openly accessible or not. I think that'll be a pretty interesting discussion with the DAO. So I'd also read
the QQL thing. I'm not sure if people listening have seen our kind of collector curated functionality, but we've got a feature that essentially allows people to handpick their output, and it's an incredibly effective way of getting the word out there. I mean, people really, really share a lot when they're kind of trying to figure out what to potentially mint. Yeah, that's perhaps more a kind of marketing thing than anything else, but yeah, maybe something to consider.
Yeah, I think what's interesting there is there's a couple of options, options for being able to reach that final set of, say, 500, whether it's randomization, but then you could, you know, there could be the collector curation where working to find the best ones. You know, it's very much within Botto that, you know, there's going to be a range that by definition, you're going to get a pretty wide range.
Right.
So I think, you know, using the Botto system of voting is a pretty, to me, is a pretty clean way of introducing that. But I think something that we can figure out a little bit further down the line. The key thing here, I think, is what are the adaptations that we need to get to get to that level of maturity. We've been running the experiment, like I said, it'll currently scheduled to run just until May 22nd. But I think the progress we've seen is like there's been some greater complexity, but I think that there's probably some further adaptations needed to really push the evolution. Because I don't, you know, certainly on the 22nd, I don't think we're going to be landing on it.
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, Mario, I don't know if you, I mean, we've discussed a couple of ideas, light ones. I mean, as you said, you're not necessarily going to be coming in with the grand vision here, but a couple of maybe features or ways of thinking about how these adaptations could work.
Well, of course, first I should say that, of course, we cannot write Botto's code. So that's kind of the big problem here, that you might want a lot of things, but it's exactly the point of the experiment that it's not me writing that code, and it has Botto has to figure that out itself. And this time the difference is we have the option to give it proper feedback. It's only, well, I mean, we got some good feedback, but I guess like if we want to get it to that point, we have to improve our feedback. So, I mean, and the alternative is, right, really, right now, Botto writes the code from scratch. So I think the only allowance I made is kind of this, that it uses a certain kind of predictive randomness algorithm to, in preparation for stuff to like doing an addition where, I don't know, where people can move parameters and stuff. But as I saw, or as we saw with kind of Claude and GPT in the mix, they kind of plateau right now at a certain kind of level of complexity. And I do not really see, I mean, we might be lucky and occasionally in the evolution something amazing comes along. But I think what we are seeing right now is kind of this approach can do. And so the question is kind of is there a different way of not breaking the rules and not cheating and getting to more complex results, like, let's say, algorithmically more complex. I mean, not necessarily visually, but, and I mean, yeah, one idea would be that kind of Botto starts creating first kind of a base library of, well, kind of generative art cliches or basic gen art functions. And then instead of kind of writing the entire code or the entire sketch all the time, it kind of puts together these elements. I mean, in the end, it's still writing the code. It just starts from a big library of functions, whatever, Perlin noise, Voronoi, blah, 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 you name it. And then it more does a kind of bigger picture sticking together things. And I don't know. Problem is to build this whole thing, I have no idea like how long it will take, like that would take. So, and again, without kind of any human writing the code for that. Alternatively, I don't know, like kind of with the goal in mind to, let's say, get one great algorithm that then is able to produce 500 fantastic, highly diverse variations, could think that it's possible to kind of change the process from now on, or from after we've finished the first round, and then kind of have to more focus on details. So the kind of the end, like, I don't know, we reduce the, how many are there now, like 128 to, I don't know, like to a few candidates, and then these candidates kind of have to get kind of really kind of constructive feedback in how to get more of what we are hoping to see. I don't know. So in the end, I doubt that kind of suddenly the algorithm will just throw out something that we have never seen before yet. I mean, there are a few good surprises in there, I think. Some of them are really interesting and could be developed further. So maybe that's already it. But to get kind of human level complexity. That's, I mean, in my opinion, at the moment, kind of at the current state of AI, difficult.
Yeah. And I think, you know, and just again, to summarize, like, you know, this is the adaptations are about Botto's learning architecture, right? How is it learning and getting feedback that it can get to those more complex points? So I think the library of features, and remember you mentioning these would be like basically a library of features it has created, which I think is quite interesting. And then, and I mean, I do wonder about like, could we expose it to other libraries to help it learn? But I think, again, getting into tricky territory there. One, just, it, you know, just, I mean, copyright, there's a whole bunch of stuff there I think that can be tricky. And does it end up adapting too much to these other human generated code bases? So I think, but I think that's quite interesting, seeing what can happen there to help kickstart some more evolutionary work. And I think that I like, to me, that's an interesting parallel too, in terms of like, there's a couple of promising ones. Like I see that in the pool myself. Like there's a lot of, to me, there's kind of always this sort of baseline of like meh stuff I see in the pool, but then promising works or the gems, they're growing in number, but they're still, you know, they're still gems among a lot of things that I'm like, I don't know what Botto's going for here. And so, yeah, narrowing down to a few candidates to get into kind of more specific things and really iterating on those could be very interesting. And I think too, like the feedback, like, again, we have not really activated an economy here. It's been purely out of just curiosity. People have been, you know, intrinsic motivation, people have been participating. And so creating an environment and an economy that can drive very strong feedback, I think is another really important component to introduce here too. And yeah.
This is probably a really stupid question, but I mean, obviously, also knows what a human looks like, what a dog looks like. Does the P5 Botto know what a human and dog looks like? Like, if like, would it be able to bring some more figurative, real world kind of things into the works, or just no?
I guess so far nobody has asked for it, so that's the thing. In the end, the comments are directly kind of included in the feedback, and then it reacts on them or not. That's kind of the weird thing, that sometimes it ignores them, sometimes it kind of pretends to do something. So that's the issue with these models right now, that they are so damn lazy. So whenever they avoid work. So that's my biggest problem. Like, yeah, so of course, and yes, so I've seen some examples, not in this experiment, but others where, I don't know, yeah, it asks, like, draw me some whatever vector figure. And, like, if they are simple enough, it can do that. But it's, I mean, do we want a dog? Do we want that human figure? I thought we are doing generative art. So, I don't know. I would probably, I mean, in the end, it's really kind of, you can go ahead now and go to any sketch and say, well, those particles are nice, but can you make them arrange themselves in the shape of a dog or any other animal? And then next week, we'll see what it comes up with. So that's kind of the way it currently works. So it is just not something that's hard-coded into it. So, but one can always ask. Then we have to find the right way of asking and maybe encouragement and something. So really, I mean, in the end, it's a prompting issue. And of course that, yeah, it's easier for an image model to make a dog than kind of a code model, I think.
How does it respond to just kind of prompts that are more like, show me something I can't even imagine, like a human can't even imagine? Like, I want to see something.
I mean, that's kind of what the initial set of sketches were, right? So in the end, like the brief to Botto was to create generative art. And then it also, even there are kind of hints where like I don't know, it has a dictionary of, I think, 128 typical generative art algorithms and terms. So just to help it along. I mean, actually, it made up these terms with its own prompt. So in the end, it's just there. So, and then in order to get some variation. But yeah, so most of the first sketches were kind of what Botto shows us, what Botto believes generative art is. So that's kind of the thing. And of course, it has learned that from many GitHub repositories and whatever else it has read. like GPT-4 and Claude.
Got it.
So you're right. I have it all there. Sorry.
Sorry, Mario, go on.
Oh, sorry, what I mean is like, yeah, theoretically, it might have access to that knowledge already, and some, but it rather probably goes for the low-hanging fruit than the kind of the non-obvious stuff. So if you ask for generative art, it will kind of go for what the typical tutorials are and what's typical generative art. So anything else has to be kind of nudged in the direction by, so unfortunately, I guess nobody of us so far has asked it to do a dog or some, because we have a certain idea about generative art, what it looks like, and its lines and dots and gradients and maybe some patterns.
That seems so integral, though. So, Simon, you were saying earlier, how do you determine when the algorithm is matured enough and when does it get to the quality where, you know, it sets itself apart as an iconic work that is very distinctive and by Botto. And it feels like one of the most important things is actually, as you were saying, Mario, the feedback. And of course, time is another part of maturity with any artist, whether that's, whether that's an AI or whether that's a human being. And actually, both those factors are so important for any artistic development. How do you make sure that the feedback that it's given is of the quality that you want? You just mentioned, Mario, well, we haven't asked it to make a figure. But yeah, is there something to be said? I know it's open to all, but how can we increase feedback and maybe then allow it to reach another level of complexity? Or maybe, again, Mario, you said maybe there's a place where it will plateau. I'd be curious to know how much can we do on that front in terms of onboarding the right people for the right feedback?
Well, that's a good question. Yeah. So in the end, nobody is actually filtering out any of the comments. That's the whole point. So that's Botto makes that decision maybe internally to decide, that comment is not very helpful, or somebody was just not lucky and I was not in the mood at that point. But so it's really more about, in the end, even like Botto gave kind of certain, like a whole list of kind of what valuable feedback could be, having maybe more people who are really were well familiar with generative art and what has been done, what would be promising, like those people, getting them in there would be fantastic, I think. Also, like feedback that you are giving, like you become also like judges in saying like, this is not yet good enough. So in a way, Botto has to get better in the feedback in producing, but at the same time, also all the voters have. If we want to get Botto to actually kind of get to worse. And so it's not sure if there's a way to reward good feedback, valuable feedback. I mean, there could be mechanisms in either kind of financial ones, of course, like in the end, like that's what is part of Botto saying, like, if you made a comment that actually brought this stuff forward in some way, then you get extra bonus points or something like that. So not quite sure if that would again be another vote, what is a valuable, or is it simply your kind of, because of that, it got to the next round, and then so could be accumulative. So like everybody who commented on something that in the end became the sketch is kind of post, like after the fact, rewarded for that. I don't know. So in the end, it's always that balance between kind of not directly influence, like we cannot directly influence stuff. So that's kind of one of the credos. We cannot touch the code. And so we have to work. I mean, that's of course what I say. That's kind of important. We cannot fix things just because we would like them to be like that, because we know better. So we have to do that through communication, not through direct interference. Getting qualified people with qualified, I mean, well, maybe Simon knows kind of like how people could be better rewarded for doing quality feedback.
I have, you know, I think, you know, two things here is one is, you know, so like Bottles presented these themes, right? Or the kind of kinds of feedback it would like. But it's also like, if we look at like the themes, for example, Botto says, this is the theme, or we like Botto presents themes, we vote on the theme, that becomes this thing that's injected into the prompts and that, and Botto presents its interpretation of that. But then also it's on the DAO to interpret its interpretations. And there's a two-way road there. And so, you know, it can be us, it's on us. And this is, you know, I think a great output of this conversation is to say, you know, if we want more complexity, we probably need to get more complex in our feedback. Right now, it's kind of maybe letting Botto lead a little bit too much when Botto's still quite immature on its development in P5.js. And so the feedback needs to lead a bit more and be more specific and be more ambitious and be more robust. So I think one of that is just the DAO conversation, which has always been a part of Botto's process, is the DAO discussing what kind of feedback are we giving? And then usually it's the upvotes and downvotes are a proxy of that discussion, whereas now we can give full-fledged comments, right? So, and so this is very much a part of the process, is to say, just to give that communication, hey, you know, let's give some more complex feedback. Let's maybe push in this direction with our feedback. And that alone can go a really long ways in impacting that. And then yes, the other side is the economy. Right now, I you can upvote and downvote the comments as well, and so I think that's going to be a really key component right now. Like right now, we can simply, without changing anything, just say, hey, let's see what some more complex feedback can do for Botto, even just see what happens in the next 2 weeks. And then part of the adaptations to make is, let's make an economy around this and say, you know, this will be tied to, you know, the weekly economy, as well as maybe tied to what an eventual drop would be. And that drives a lot of motivation, obviously, mm-hmm. right? The intrinsic motivation is great. It's amazing that's there. I think that's super key and core. And then the financial side is an accelerator of that. And so over these next 2 weeks and maybe a little bit beyond, as we work on what those adaptations are, we push how much we can just with the current unincentivized feedback. And I would say, you know, at least personally, and this is a DAO discussion, but personally, I think that the economy should account for the feedback that's been given already in that participation. So maybe some alpha, just to say, like, I think that should be rewarded. So there's maybe an implicit financial reward there somewhere. But see what we can drive with that as we talk about the economic aspect, as well as pushing that even harder. I think we can drive a lot of feedback and really drive that complexity. So that's part of the experiment we could even just see in the next 2 weeks. The last thing I'll say is it's open, but we can also not only have a conversation about more constructive feedback, but also bring in more, you know, experts and different levels of expertise, different kinds of backgrounds. Layla and Jamie, already you guys are bringing, I think, some really, really interesting feedback to incorporate in our consideration here of what does a mature collection look like? And your mention of, you know, could there be more figurative outputs, right? I think that kind of feedback, we're already seeing that dynamic play out here.
I don't think I was, I definitely wasn't meaning to say it'd be cool to see loads of dogs in the works. But yeah, I don't know, it kind of feels like there's an opportunity for Botto to come up with something just totally unimaginable that does take inspiration from real world things. Yeah, not really sure where I was going with that. But
I think just some things I wanted to add to how we work that Jamie already elaborated on earlier. I think for me, with this particular project, is exactly these aspects that I find really interesting. So obviously, I land on the page and I see the process and it's extremely fascinating. But I really think the psychology of giving a comment and pushing Botto to become more complex, and what my effect can be on that as an audience, as an individual, how I'm not passive, how I can have a direct input into the artwork, like all those aspects are something that I think are really important to the project, and which is why we really wanted to do this exhibition here in London, because I feel like it's not really something that you can explain on one exhibition page. It sort of needs almost that experience around it, and also for people to know where Botto comes from. So I guess what I'm saying is that I'm hoping the way we are working moving forward, and we've been doing it a little bit, is that it doesn't really, like the way we're showing it right now should be the beginning, but it's an ongoing process that should hopefully unfold further down the line, where we can, you know, even past the release, keep talking about what the work is about and where it sits in the larger, and we talked about this a little bit, Simon, like where does Botto sit in the larger like narrative of generative art or art history in general? Yeah, so that those are my personal interest points on this project in particular. Yeah, I don't know if that's helpful or not, but that's kind of how I'm hoping we can approach it.
Yeah, this has been a really, I think, great conversation and a really fun way to really kick it off with the DAO as we discuss this further. You know, I think the big takeaway is sending an announcement out saying, you know, let's give Botto some more complex feedback in P5JS. You know, I think one other thing I'll mention is, you know, obviously the first kind of collection or release, if and when it gets there, it's important to reach, I think, a standard. But it's also interesting to consider how this might further evolve, might combine with Botto's core practice. You know, one being, I've seen some experiments with taking kind of image to image, right? So Botto taking the P5 output as an input to a generative model, and then that kind of being this crossover. I think that might be making things a little bit, like to Jamie's point, maybe a little too complex, right? I think this the pure P5 is a very interesting thing to target, but as a carry on, as a follow up, could be quite interesting as well. So very interesting to think about, how does this develop? How does this add to Botto's career in addition to this particular goal of how we push towards, help Botto push towards greater maturity in this particular practice? So, I mean, just noting kind of time, any closing thoughts or any questions people have, floor is open. We can also end it there. I'll ramble a little bit to wrap us up, but if anybody wants to raise their hand in the meantime, that's fine too. Yeah, this has been really great. Jamie, Layla, thank you guys so much for coming out. Mario as well, special guest. Really great to be having this conversation out in the open to kick things off. Very excited for the show coming up May 23rd in London. If you're in town, please RSVP, come through. It's going to be a really great presentation of Botto's development to date and this particular evolution. So keep your eyes peeled for maybe a proposal coming soon about how we might adapt the process, bring in an economic factor. In the meantime, if you're participating or if you're not, please participate and give Botto some more complex feedback. So on that, last call for any final thoughts or comments or questions.
Just to say thank you so much for having us. It's been really fun.
Yeah, amazing, guys. Thank you so much again.
Thank you for having us.
Yeah, thank nice you so much.
I'll see you next week, Simon, right? You're going to come. You're good on Lord. Our panel.
That next week?
Yes.
Week after later, no?
Oh, the God. Week after. Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm in future mode.
See you in a week and a half. And yeah, thanks everybody for joining.
Thanks so much.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Bye. Later.